In my last two videos, we saw that our current world was crafted behind the scenes by Freemasons through revolutions for freedom against legitimate Christian monarchies and world wars, establishing new secular countries with universal bodies such as the League of Nations and the United Nations to give oversight. We briefly looked at the history of Freemasonry and touched on the spiritual problems often suffered by its members and their descendants due to the horrible oaths they take, which include oaths to false gods. In this video, we will discuss Freemasonry and the Catholic Church, what the Church has said about Freemasonry, and what has been the Masonic activity towards the Catholic Church. Conspiracy theories often make a connection between Freemasonry and the Catholic Church as if they are in cahoots with one another. But in reality, nothing could be further from the truth. Freemasonry and the Catholic Church are bitter enemies with opposing ideologies. The Catholic Church created Christendom out of the ashes of the fallen Western Roman Empire, where all of Western Europe was a collection of independent Christian monarchies united by a common religion, Catholicism, and a common language, Latin, with the Catholic Church at the center of governance and, in reality, everyday life. The Freemasons have plotted over the centuries to destroy Christendom and the Catholic Church and replace it with man-centered naturalism and secular governments. From its very founding, the Catholic Church has repeatedly condemned Freemasonry and forbidden Catholics from joining, imposing the dire penalty of excommunication for those who do. Pope Clement VII in 1738, just a mere 20 years after the founding of Freemasonry, wrote, "With the same plenitude of the apostolic power, we do hereby determine and have decreed that these same societies, companies, assemblies, meetings, congregations, or conventicles of Libre Moratori, or France Masons, or whatever other name they go by, are to be condemned and prohibited. And by our present constitution valid forever, we do condemn and prohibit them. Catholics must stay completely clear of such societies, companies, assemblies, meetings, congregations, or conventicles under pain of excommunication for all the above mentioned people." This condemnation and imposed penalty of excommunication was reaffirmed by 8 more popes and a further 20 papal documents. The reason stated for this condemnation of Freemasonry was the naturalistic nature of its religion, all religions are equal, religious indifferentism, the secrecy imposed on its members, even to lie rather than expose their secrets, even when asked by legitimate authorities, the horrible oaths the members take of secrecy, swearing to be killed in the most gruesome fashion were they to reveal the secrets of Freemasonry, their plot against Christendom to overthrow the established order and institute liberty, and the plot against the Church and to overthrow the papacy. It is also made known that all secret societies, regardless of what they name themselves, are Freemasonic. Pope Leo XIII in Humani Genus wrote, "There are several organized bodies which, though differing in name, in ceremony, in form, and origin, are nonetheless so bound together by community of purpose and by similarity of their main opinions as to be in fact one thing with the sect of Freemasons, which is a kind of center whence they all go forth and whither they all return." The Carbonari were one such group specifically named by Pope Pius VII in Ecclesiam et Jesu Christo. We'll talk a little more about that group later. The 1917 Code of Canon Law, Canon 2335, stated, "Affiliation with Masonic or similar societies, those who join a Masonic sect or other societies of the same sort which plot against the Church or against legitimate civil authority, incur ipso facto an excommunication simply reserved to the Holy See." However, the 1983 Code of Canon Law states, in Canon 1374, "A person who joins an association which plots against the Church is to be punished with a just penalty. One who promotes or takes office in such an association is to be punished with an interdict." Since the new code did not specifically mention Freemasonry, some thought that the prohibition against Masonic organizations had been lifted, and some Catholic men started joining. However, the CDF issued a decree on November 26, 1983, entitled Declaration on Masonic Associations, which read, "Therefore, the Church's negative judgment in regard to Masonic associations remains unchanged, since their principles have always been considered irreconcilable with the doctrine of the Church, and therefore membership in them remains forbidden. The faithful who enroll in Masonic organizations are in a state of grave sin and may not receive Holy Communion. So no, Catholics cannot be Freemasons. And the popes did not regard the Freemasonic plot against Christendom, the Church, and the papacy to be conspiracy theory, but conspiracy fact. In his encyclical Humana Genus, Pope Leo XIII says, "The Freemasons are no longer making any secret of their purposes. They are now boldly rising up against God himself. They are planning the destruction of Holy Church publicly and openly, and this with the set purposely of utterly despoiling the nations of Christendom. Against the Apostolic See and the Roman Pontiff, the contention of these enemies has been for a long time directed. The Masonic sect produces fruits that are pernicious and of the bitterest savor. For from what we have above most clearly shown, that which is their ultimate purpose forces itself into view, namely, the utter overthrow of the whole religious and political order of the world which the Christian teaching has produced, and the substitution of a new state of things in accordance with their ideas, of which the foundations of laws shall be drawn from mere naturalism. It has been reported by many credible ex-Freemasons that for initiation into one of the higher degrees of Freemasonry, the ritual includes the initiate thrusting a dagger into a human skull wearing a papal crown while saying death to the Pope." Saint Maximilian Kolbe was in Rome in 1917, which marked the 200th anniversary of the official founding of Freemasonry. He witnessed their public celebration. This is what he wrote. "In the years leading up to the war, the Masonic clique disapproved of, on several occasions by the sovereign pontiffs, governed in Rome, the capital of Christianity, with ever greater impudence. It did not even hesitate to brandish in the streets of the city during the festivities in honor of Giordano Bruno, a black flag showing the Archangel Michael beneath the feet of Lucifer. Still less did they hesitate to brandish a Masonic insignia beneath the window of the Vatican. A reckless hand felt no repugnance in writing, 'Satan will rule in the Vatican and the Pope will serve him in the uniform of a Swiss guard,' and other things of that kind. This mortal hatred for the Church of Jesus Christ and for his vicar was not just a prank on the part of deranged individuals, but a systematic action proceeding from the principle of Freemasonry. Destroy all religion, whatever it may be, especially the Catholic religion." This event inspired Maximilian Kolbe to found the Militia Immaculata to fight Freemasonry with the most powerful weapon of all, prayer. At least once a day, its members pray, "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for those who do not have recourse to thee, especially for the Freemasons." The Carbonari was a French and Italian lodge in the late 1800s with ties to Freemasonry. The chapters were called Venditas, with the governing body called the Alta Vendita. A former member of the Carbonari gave Pope Gregory XVI a document called the Permanent Instruction of the Alta Vendita, laying out the long-term Freemasonic plan to infiltrate and destroy the Catholic Church from within. It says in part, "Our ultimate end is that of Voltaire and the French Revolution, the final destruction of Catholicism and even the Christian idea. The task that we are going to undertake is not the work of a day or even a month or of a year. It may last several years, perhaps a century, but in our ranks the soldier dies and the struggle goes on. The Pope, whoever he is, will never come to the secret societies. It is up to the secret societies to take the first steps towards the Church with the aim of conquering both of them. We do not intend to win the popes to our cause, to make them neophytes of our principles, propagators of our ideas. That would be a ridiculous dream. If cardinals or prelates, for example, of their own free will or by surprise, should enter into our secrets, this is not at all incentive for desiring their elevation to the See of Peter. That elevation would ruin us. Ambition alone would have led them to apostasy. The requirements of power would force them to sacrifice us. What we must ask for, what we should look for and wait for, as the Jews wait for the Messiah, is a Pope according to our needs. We have no doubt that we will arrive at this supreme end of our efforts, but when, but how? To assure ourselves a Pope of the required dimensions, it is a question first of shaping for this Pope a generation worthy of the reign we are dreaming of. Leave old people and those of mature age aside, go to the youth, and if possible, even the children. You will contrive for yourselves, at little cost, a reputation as good patriotic Catholics. This reputation will put access to our doctrines into the midst of the young clergy, as well as deeply into the monasteries. In a few years, by the force of things, these young clergy will have overrun all the functions. They will form the sovereign councils. They will be called to choose a pontiff who should reign. And this pontiff, like most of his contemporaries, will be necessarily more or less imbued with the revolutionary Italian and humanitarian principles that we are going to begin to put into circulation. Let the clergy march under your standard, always believing that they are marching under the banner of the apostolic keys. With that, we shall march more securely towards the assault of the church than with the pamphlets of our brethren in France or even the gold of England. It is that with this, in order to shatter the high rock on which God has built his church, we no longer need Hannibalian vinegar or need gunpowder or even need our arms. We have the little finger of the successor of Peter engaged in the ploy, and this little finger is as good for this crusade as all the Urban IIs and all the St. Bernards in Christendom. This clearly shows a long-term strategy of infiltrating the clergy, infecting them with Masonic ideas, and over time those men will be in charge of the church and elect a pope from their ranks who share those ideas, and this will bring an end to the Catholic Church, or at least that's what they believe. Popes Leo XIII and Pius IX insisted on this document's publication and propagation, Pope Pius IX going so far as to guarantee its authenticity. More evidence that Freemasons are working behind the scenes to destroy the Catholic Church from within are the directives from 1962 for the Second Vatican Council, leaked in 1974 from the infamous P2 Lodge in Italy, who lost its Masonic charter in 1978. There are 34 directives in all. Here are just a few. Remove St. Michael, the protector of the Church, from every prayer, whether inside or outside of the Mass, once and for all. Remove all his statues. Assign Protestant ministers to revise and desacralize the Mass. Instigate doubts that the Eucharist is closer to the Protestants' belief and that it is only bread and symbolic. Stop communicants from kneeling and receiving the host. Remove all statues and pictures of angels. Why have statues of our enemies around? Call them a myth or a bad time story. Stop all Latin and Mass liturgy and devotions and song. It lends to feelings of mystery and respect. Profane hymns to the Mother of God, St. Joseph, call it idolatry. Replace with Protestant songs. This will imply that the Catholic Church is finally admitting that Protestantism is the true religion, or at least equal to the Catholic Church. Eliminate the minor order of exorcists for expelling demons. Work hard on this one. Sell the idea that there is not a real devil. Say it is the Bible's way of representing evil, and there can't be a good story without a villain. Be bold. Weaken the Pope by setting up bishop's synods. Then weaken the bishop's authorities by setting up a counterpart at the priest level. Say that the priests are finally getting the recognition they deserve. Then weaken the priest's authority by setting up lay groups to boss the priests. There will be so much hatred developed that even cardinals will leave the church. Say that the church is now democratic. Praise the new collegiality. Elect an antipope. Say that he will bring the Protestants back into the church and maybe even the Jews. An antipope can be elected by giving the vote to the bishops. There will be so many popes nominated that an antipope will get in as a compromise pope. After antipope arrives, disband synod of bishops, priest unions, and lay advisory groups. Forbid any religious to engage in politics without permission. Give supreme power to the pope to select his successor. Order the mark of the beast on all true lovers of God under the pain of excommunication. Declare all former church dogmas false, except the dogma of infallibility. State that Jesus Christ was a revolutionary that didn't make it. Say that the true Christ will soon come. Order all subjects of the Pope to fight in holy crusades to spread the one world religion. Satan knows where all the lost gold is. Ruthlessly conquer the world. This will give to humanity what they have always yearned for, the golden age of peace. So as you can see, Freemasonry has been plotting against the Catholic Church since the beginning. Have they succeeded? It would seem so. Most of the P2 directives were indeed implemented, maybe not at the Second Vatican Council, but certainly in the years immediately after the Council. Now, the P2 directives are not as certain as the permanent instruction of the Alta Vendita, but if they are true, then their next step is going to be to get an anti-pope and then give him complete and total control and power. Nevertheless, the permanent instruction of the Alta Vendita seems to have achieved its goal. But how was this possible? In my next video, we will look at the very real Freemasonic infiltration into the Catholic hierarchy. Now, of course, all of this was predicted, even the apparent victory over the Church by its enemies. But take heart, the gates of hell will not prevail. The same prophecies that predicted the Masonic plot against the Church also predicted that when all seems lost, God will intervene and Our Lady's victory will be at hand. Until my next video, God bless.